And we'll be reading from Acts chapter 2 today. I just would also ask, as we go through the week, that you would please remember to pray for a couple of items. One is on Monday. Tomorrow, Deepika and I will be representing East Hill with many other schools and organizations at the council, where we will be having a specific meeting slot with Kaid, who we know well and has become kind of our friend, but to represent East Hill in terms of the ongoing plans for developing safeguarding in not only East Hill, but within the faith community. So please pray for our meeting tomorrow at 11:30. Please also pray for Brother Guy, who Guy will be leaving this week from London to go to The Hague, where there will be a very important meeting regarding the international response to chemical weapons. And Guy, in his capacity, will be involved with that discussion. May God give you wisdom, Brother Guy, and pray for you two, Hannah, together. Thank you. So pray for those two things through the week, if you would. And we're now going to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and Florence will bring the reading. Thank you.
Good morning, church. So our reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 30 to 42. So Acts chapter 2, verses 30 to 42 says, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing that what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Florence. It's good to have young people, men and young women, engaged in our church, in our ministry. We thank God for each one. And today we give thanks for Ben. And Ben, we're going to invite you to come up and pray with you as you come. And then we'll hand over to you. Ben was saying, you won't mind me sharing, I'm a bit nervous, Pastor. And I said, nervous is good, especially when you start out. Nervous is good, but we're going to pray. Father, thank you for Ben and Tammy, for their mom and their wonderful ministry among us, and their heart for you, their desire to serve. Lord, may you now anoint this word and bring clarity and blessing to Ben as he shares your word with us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Thank you, Ray. Just to introduce myself, if you've not met me before, if I've not met you, my name's Ben. I'm relatively new here to the church. I've been here for about a year and a half now. And myself and my wife, Temi, helped run the Sunday school. So that's why you'll see us downstairs quite a lot of the time. You might not always see us up here. I'm a teacher in a local school. If any of you know Chelsea Academy, it's across near Imperial Wharf. That's where I teach. And when Ray offered me the chance to teach today, I was nervous, and I was also unsure about what I wanted to talk about, because I think there's many things I had in my heart that I thought were important. But I prayed about it quite a lot, and I think the concept of baptism came to mind. And it's particularly important to me because I've a person that's been baptized twice in my life, at two separate occasions, once when I was 16 and once when I was 21. The first time was in the Church of England, which was the church I used to be a part of. So the sermon today will be kind of part sermon and I suppose part testimony, because I think what I'm going to say will make more sense in the context of my own story, in a sense. So I hope you'll bear with me for that. So for myself, I'm not from a Christian family. My family are all atheist, agnostic. But I was sent to a Christian primary school, which affected me quite deeply. And it's one of the reasons I see the church and the ministry we do with the children so important. And I ended up pursuing my faith up to the age of 14, where I joined a church. And it was a Church of England church. And they welcomed me in. And I pursued and learnt more about faith and what it meant to be a Christian. And it was a really exciting time in my life. And you may or may not know this, but in the Church of England, they have a process called confirmation, which is basically if you've been baptized or christened as a child, you get confirmed as a teenager to show that you're continuing in your faith. And that's what I was doing. So I did a course, and we learned all about baptism, about the meaning of Christianity and the symbolism of it. And I learned some things that still stick with me to this day. And some of them I want to share with you. So I was baptized on my 16th birthday, which also happened to be on Easter Sunday, which was a really important day for me. And my whole family were there, and it was a real great day in my life. So let me tell you, first of all, about some of the things I learned about baptism then and some of the things I've learned since, and then tell you a bit about why I got baptized the second time. So just first starting with the word baptism, I wanted to know actually what does this word itself mean? We use it in this context to mean, you know, a person being put in water and it's a ritual, but what does the word itself mean? So after looking into it, the word baptism comes from a Greek word baptizio, which seems to mean to be immersed in or plunged into. So the examples are if someone has a bath, they are baptized in that water. If a baby is in the womb, they are baptized in their mother's womb. Or if a sword is plunged into someone, the sword is baptized in that person, which I think is all quite interesting imagery. So it's kind of a full immersion thing. Do any other religions baptize? Was another question I was interested in. And the answer is no, not really. Christianity is one of the only religions that practices water baptism. So Hinduism and Sikhism and other religions talk about baptism, but it's not involved in the ritual of water. It's kind of a confirmation of faith. The Muslims and the Jews do use water in their faith a lot as well to cleanse, but it's not a ritual of rebirth as it is in Christianity. So this is a tradition that is kind of solely Christian, which I think makes it really significant, because as important as marriage is and all the other rites of passage we have, baptism is something that is uniquely Christian. So if I go to the verse that Florence beautifully read earlier in Acts 2, verses 37 to 38, we heard from the story of, the beginning of Acts, basically, which was when the church was just starting. And the disciples were trying to figure out what to do next. And all these people came up to them and said, "What do we need to do to be saved?" So they said, starting with verse 37, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And then Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So from the very beginning of the church, baptism was hand in hand with converting to Christianity. It was really important. And people would convert and be baptized straight away. And in general, it was done in the way we do at church, in full immersion. But there are examples when people didn't have that much of a river or a lake to hand. People would just sprinkle with water, which is why some churches do it today. So what do Christians believe about baptism? It's a Christian thing. What do Christians believe? Well, the Catholics believe that you should get baptized at birth, and then you get confirmed later on in life, and they believe that baptism is necessary to salvation. So if you're not baptized, you might go to what they call purgatory or hell. It's similar with the Church of England, which is what I was raised in. Now, as evangelicals, we don't really see it as baptized or go to hell. At least most evangelicals don't. It's in general seen as a symbolic act of something that's already gone on. Although there are some evangelicals who also believe that baptism, in the very act itself, something spiritual and important happens. And whether that's at the act or if it's a symbol is a really big question that I'm not really going to try and answer here, because there's kind of a theological debate about that. And there's some interesting practices in how baptism is actually done. So some I found out recently, which I found really interesting, some churches in the States practice fire hose baptism. So they'll get 1,000 or 2,000 people together and baptize them all with a fire hose at the same time. And it reminded me of something I learned when I was doing history at school, which was there was this famous Chinese warlord in the warlord period of China's history. And forgive me if I don't pronounce this right, but his name was Zhen Shifuan. And he was known as the Christian warlord because he used to get all of his troops together before the war, pray over them, and then baptize them all with a hose before they went into the war, which has always been an image that's stuck in my head. I've always found that really interesting. Okay, so what does baptism mean to us as Christians, and what is some of the symbolism of it? Well, I'm going to suggest three things that I think it means. I'm going to suggest, first of all, it means death. Baptism is a kind of death. And I know that might seem quite a negative thing to start on, but I think there's a good reason for that. I think baptism is to do with death because quite often in the Bible and in the Old Testament, God brings death through water. The most obvious example would be the flood, when God purged the earth of all of its evil inhabitants in the very early days in Genesis with a flood. You could also look at the example of the Dead Sea, when the Jews passed from Egypt into going towards the Promised Land, and God parted the waters for them, but the Egyptians came trying to pursue and kill them, and God smothered them with the waters and drowned them. So God can use water for death. And you can also see this in Jesus Christ's life. When Jesus died and he was on the cross, his side was pierced and blood and water came out. So the act of being baptized is also to do with dying, in a sense. And in the most important sense, it's to do with identifying with Jesus' death. Just as Jesus died and was buried, we as Christians symbolize that by going down into the water. Just like Jesus descended into death and hell, we descend into the water. I think there's some really important symbolism there. Okay, so second, I think baptism in a sense represents a transition. Water is something often in the Bible that people pass through to get from one stage of their lives or one thing to another. So you could again look at the example of Moses and the Israelites passing from Egypt, where they were enslaved, where they were degraded, to a better future through the Red Sea. And you could also see the example of them passing the Jordan River and passing through the waters there. That was a transition from one stage in life to a better, often to a better one. We even say when a woman is ready to give birth to a child that her waters have broken. The child is ready to come into life as waters break. So water in baptism shows a transition from the kingdom that we were in, of sin and death, to the kingdom of God and of Jesus. It's a transition, okay? And last, and I think fundamentally and most importantly, baptism represents and symbolizes life. Water in so many cultures around the world and throughout the Bible is a symbol of life. Jesus said he is the water of life. And there are times again in the Old Testament you can see Elijah praying for rain. And you know, in many places around the world, as I'm sure you know, where rain is quite sparse, that rainwater represents life. People would starve. or die of thirst without that rain. I mean, I've never really prayed for rain in the UK. I don't think we need to. But it's important. And God brought life through that rain. So I think baptism is to do with life. And Jesus died not just to take away our sins, but to give us life. So when you rise out of that water, you are coming into a new life in Jesus Christ. So having said all that, I guess I want to go back to my story. I was baptized at 16. That was a real kind of high point in my spiritual journey at that point. But over the next couple of years, for me at least, things kind of went downhill. People who know me will tell you that I've always, when I was younger especially, been quite a goody-goody kind of person. Always wanted to seem like I was in the right and was the good guy. And as I got older, particularly when I got to 18, 19, I started making mistakes like everybody does, doing bad things, stuff that was harder to defend. And so my own image of myself as the good Christian boy that, you know, who was, you know, selected by God and all of this, you know, where I felt very holy in a sense before, was really challenged. And I kind of went through a bit of a crisis when I was 19 years old, which was my first year of university, where I started reading The Pilgrim's Progress, which is a beautiful book that kind of totally changed my mind. It's by John Bunyan. It was in the 1600s. And it talked about a Christian being someone who bears this heavy burden of his own sin and guilt. And I guess that up to that stage, I hadn't really thought of it like that. I thought being a Christian was about doing what was right, and by pleasing God that way. And I hadn't really thought of myself as in need of redemption in that way. I mean, I would say it, but I don't think at my heart I really thought it was true, because I thought I was a good person. And as I went through this crisis, I started to read about the afterlife and heaven and hell, and that God has very high standards for who reaches heaven. In fact, the highest standards possible, that unless you are perfect, no one will go to heaven. And that scared me, because at that point I was starting to see how I definitely wasn't perfect. And I remember thinking, well, what can I do to be saved? You know, I can't just do good things because I'd be being false. It's not inside me. And I remember hearing the voice of what I now attribute to God in my head saying, be calm, have faith in me, trust in me. And then my fears subsided. And for me, that was kind of a beginning into the true sense of Christianity as being of grace. And that was a turning point in my Christian life. And that's why I became, as I am now, an evangelical, and I no longer worship in the Church of England. Because it gave me the true Christianity and grace gave me the freedom to be an imperfect person who is still loved by God. And I can accept that now. It's made me much more secure as a human being. As I'm sure it has for many people in this room. So I decided to be baptized again. It took a couple of years. It was 3 years after that. It was when I was around 21. I got baptized in a church I used to go to called Westminster Chapel. And I invited my family to come along, and they said, well, why you get baptized again? You already got baptized. We were there. It was a great day. Now, why are you doing it again? This is weird. So I kind of explained to them why it was important to me, and this is one of some of the things I said to them, which is that I think it was important as a declaration of my newfound faith in God as a God of grace. And also, the first time I was baptized, I was just sprinkled with water, and I wanted a full immersion baptism, and I did that in my church, so it was giving me a chance I never had the first time, because I do think the full immersion has some real meaning behind it. And I think in the New Testament, you see a lot of that, people being fully immersed in water. So in a sense, the things I said to you earlier about death, transition, and life took a new meaning to me the second time, because it wasn't just beautiful ideas that had a connection to the Bible. It was my own death, transition, and life. When I went into that water, I was saying, I want to leave the old me behind. The me that was always trying to be self-righteous, always trying to look like the good guy, never wanting to look bad. And I wanted to be a new person. And you know, whether or not it was that exact moment that caused the change or it happened before, it was one moment in my life that I can always look back to as a statement of the Christian I am now. And so what I'd say to you is, if you have been baptized, the importance of that is that you can always look back to that moment as your declaration before God and man, and of God's declaration to you that you are his forever, and that you have made that change. You've left your old sin and death and self behind, and you've gone to a new creation. It doesn't mean we never do anything wrong now or make mistakes, of course we do, but the heart that God has given us leans towards good and will do so until we are perfected. So if you are a Christian like me who can sometimes or often doubt yourself, or wonder if you're a good Christian at all, or wonder, you know, how could I be like this if I'm a Christian, then you can look back to your baptism and the time you were converted and say, it doesn't matter if I feel like I'm not doing great at this point in my journey, because it's done. My salvation and my transition into God's kingdom is done, and we got the baptism to show that. In a sense, your baptism is your marriage, your birthday, and your funeral all in one, all in relation to God. And it's a beautiful moment. So I'd encourage anyone here who feels like they are converting to Christianity or it means more to them to come and be baptized and do it soon, because I think it's a truly important, well, fundamental moment in any Christian's life. And if you've already been baptized like me, then I hope that you remember that as something that was permanent and something that you can't go back from. Even if you wanted to, you are now in God's hands forever, and he will love and take care of you. And that's what baptism has meant to me. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Amen. Wow. Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. What an encouragement. Thank you, Ben. Ben said, Pastor, I don't want to just be teaching it. I hope it's a message. And that was a message. Thank you. May God bless you, and may that be a first step, Ben, to serving in a new way, in a new place. As we do that, as we consider that word today, if there is anyone here who has thought about baptism or isn't sure about baptism and what it means, please come and talk to us. Talk to me. Talk Ben. See him afterwards. Say, Ben, tell me more about your experience. But come and see us. And recognize the importance of what the apostle said when they said to him, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And if anyone here wants to engage in that beautiful and powerful statement, please don't leave today before you've seen us. Well, what an encouraging, what a blessed message. Let's now invite the worship team to come as we close today. Let's sing our final hymn. Let's sing with thanksgiving. What a precious morning this has been. It's been a joy. And let us stand together as we sing our closing hymn.